Rolling on Sadiq Hay, Omar Aleph, the seventh line. Now that we talked about the Lachem upon him and the shape of it, so let's talk about the as follows. In general, we've been learning throughout the Masechta, we've been learning previously in Zvachim, that when korbanos are taken out of, that most many korbanos, when they're taken out of the Azara, become possible. It's called Yotzin. Some call it Kodshim Kalim, as if they're taken out of Yerushalayim. Kodshim is if they're taken out of the Azara, and the Emurim also, which are burnt on the Mizbeach, are possible if they're taken out of the Azara. The Lachem upon him also has the rule of Kodshim. So if it's taken out of the Azara, it's going to be possible. But we have to talk about that during the 40 years in the desert, sometime, you know, whenever they're traveling, it's not being taken out of the Azara. The whole Azara, the whole Mishkan is being disassembled. So the Gemara says, you boil the who? So they had a question. Lachem upon him. Now, the other thing is, though, we're going to learn, as we're going to go learn later on in the parak, that Lachem upon him is supposed to constantly be on the Shulchan. You put it down there on Shabbos, and it remains there until the following Shabbos. So the question was, Lachem upon him, Nifsol v'masois, say any Nifsol v'masois. So does the Lachem upon him become possible when they're traveling, and then, now the pasuk does say that they carry the shulchan with the lachem upon him on it. The question is, does that lachem upon him become possible because, in effect, because it's going out of the Azara, because the Azara is going away from around it, or in a nips of masois, or maybe not, maybe the fact that it's on the shulchan means that it's still kosher. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shimon Levi argued about that. Chad Amar Nifsel, but Chad Amar Ein Nifsel. One says it's possible, the other one says that not. Why does each one say Manda Amar Nifsel? The opinion that says that becomes possible, different, because the pasuk says Kasha Yachnu Ken You Sow. The pasuk says just as they camped, so they traveled. Now it means in the simple sense it means they kept the same order of Shavatim. It's machlokas elsewhere whether when they traveled were they going in a straight line one shavat and behind it the next shavat and so forth, or whether they kept the same square formation that they did when they were camping. Whatever the case, the simple meaning is that they kept that same order or that same formation. But here also the opinion that says the lachem upon him is possible is saying that you can learn something else from it. Ma b'chana yose nifsa b'yotze, just like when they're at rest. If the lachem upon him is taken out of the Azara, it will become possible. After Nisiyasa Nifsal Yotze, we'll say, when they're traveling, also if it's taken out, then it becomes possible, since by definition it's being taken out, because there is no chotzer for it to be in, because the whole chotzer and the whole Mishkan have been disassembled, then therefore it's going to become possible as well. Manda Omer Eini Nifsal, the opinion that says it doesn't become possible, is going to say, Dichtid, because the Pasuk says, V'lachem upon him all of year. The Pasuk says that the lachem upon him should remain on the shulchan, while they're traveling, which implies, in other words, that even while they're traveling, it's still called lechem atomid, implying that it's still kosher. Otherwise, if they're just a lechem, the lechem all of the year, or something like that. We want to ask the idach nami haksiv kach sheyachnu ken yisow. Well, the opinion that says that it remains kosher, what does he do with the pasuk kach sheyachnu ken yisow, that the same dinim apply in both cases? He says, it does mean there's a comparison, but the other way around. So just like when they're resting, when they're camping, if it's not taken out of its area, it doesn't become fossil. The same way in traveling, it doesn't become fossil if it goes out, unless it goes out of its place. When they're traveling, its place is on the shulchan. Well, therefore, as long as it's not being taken off the shulchan, then we're good. So there is a comparison, but the comparison is exactly the other way around than you would want to say. Okay, the Gemara says Yidach Nami Yaksiv V'Lachem Atomin Olav Yir. Fine, the opinion that says that it's possible, what is he going to do with the possible V'Lachem Atomin Olav Yir, which implies that it remains culture? The Gemara doesn't have an answer for that, so rather we have to modify our understanding of what the Machlokas was. Ella, so rather, the Osir of Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he would try, we find all over Shas, where he would bring with him the latest of discussions of the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, and very often he would clarify the point that until now, the Chacham Lvovel knew that there had been machlokas about this in Eretz Yisrael, but they weren't sure about the details, as here we had Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi, both lived in Eretz Yisrael, so now comes Rabbi Dimi and clarified what the machlokas is. So he says, the Mesudah de Kol HaMalei. If the lachem upon him is remaining stacked on the shulchan when they're traveling, then there's no machlokes. You're right, because the pasuk says lachem atomin all of the year, so therefore clearly it has to remain kol. Ela kiplegi b'mesulak. The machlokes would be that if it was taken off the Shulchan and then they trampled. So like this, they would take it off the Shulchan on Shabbos, and they'd offer the Levona and the Mezichin on the Mizbeach. Then after that, the Lachem Aponim are being eaten by the Kohenim. So now, and they have the usual rules of eating it as far as Kodesh Kodeshim, among others, that they have to eat it in the Chotzer, in the Azara. So now, at that point, if they travel, then is the Lachem Aponim going to become possible or not? So Manda Oman Jifso, the opinion that says it becomes fossil again, Kasha Yachnu can you so? Because it says just like the cats, just like a camp, so they travel. Mabachana Yosa Nifsuba Yotza. And again, when they're at rest in a particular place, if somebody takes out Lachma Ponim outside of the Kloim, outside of the Chotzer, then it's going to become fossil. Afghanis Yosa Nifsuba Yotza, the same way when they're traveling, it's going to become fossil if it's being taken out. It's not, the fact is, it's not inside the cloy, it's not inside the chotzer, and therefore it's not going to, and therefore it's going to become possible. So that would be one opinion. And then, and if so, the opinion that says it doesn't become possible. He says no, because you have another possible in connection with the travels. It says the oihol moyed will travel. Should travel, from which we learn, even though it's traveling and it's taken apart, nevertheless, it still has the din of oil moyed. So therefore, the lachem aponim can still be considered as though it was located in the azara, in the chotzer, and therefore it doesn't become possible. Okay, again, the question is, so again, according to this version, also we have to ask that opinion that says it remains kosher, what is he doing with the pasuk kasher yachnu ken yiso, which the other opinion said implies, therefore, that's possible. And again, the answer is like before, it means on the contrary, when they're resting, if they don't take out the lachem aponim outside of the chotzer, it doesn't become possible. So when they're traveling, also, as long as they don't take it out, it won't become possible. Taking it out of where? So the taking it out in this case would have to be, Rashi says, from Machna Levi'im, from the camp of Levi'im. Now the question is though that what is the Azara have to do with the Machna Levi'ah? Those are the Azara is what's called Machna Shechina, and as we're going to talk about soon, all kinds of Tanaim are excluded from it, as opposed to Machna Levi'ah is a lower level of Kusha, and certain kinds of Tanaim are allowed into it. What's the comparison that we would say when it's at rest it has to remain in the when they're at rest. When they're camping someplace, then they have to remain inside the Azara. And when not, when they're traveling, it can be within Machna Levi'ah. What's the logic? So Shutum Kubetsa says that when they're traveling, the vote is the Machna Levi'ah is also called Oihol Moed. Because the pasuk that the Gemara had quoted, the words Venasa Oihol Moed, the pasuk actually continues. The pasuk says Venasa Oihol Moed, Machna Halavim. The camp of the Levim. So in the simple sense, it means that the Levim are the ones carrying the Mishkan, but in other words, we're meant to understand that it means the Machna HaLevim, when they're traveling, has to a certain degree the din of the Azara, and therefore, as long as the Lachem Aponim remains within that area, then you can say that it remains kosher. So he'll say that just the opposite. You're telling me the comparison is just like when they're at rest, if it goes out of its zone, it becomes fossil, the same way when they're traveling. No, the other way around. Just like when their rest stays within its zone, it's good. Well, the same way, when they're traveling, as long as it stays within its zone, the only difference is the zone, instead of being only Machna Shechina, is now going to be Machna Levi'ah, where the Levi'im are traveling along and carrying the parts of the Mishkan. Okay. The Gemara says the idach nami oksiv v'nasa oil moed. Now we said you have the pasuk v'nasa oil moed, which implies that it's still considered the oil moed. It's still considered the mishkan even when they're traveling, and it still has its kedusha. So the opinion that says the lachem aponim becomes fossil, what is he doing with that pasuk? The answer is that he would gahul and golem who also. That's just telling us the fact that they travel in a certain formation, and if they're carrying the oil moed, they're carrying the oil moed among them. It's not meant to teach us specifically that the oil moed has the kedusha over there. We have to know that there's one of the shvatim going, and then there's one of the shvatim going, and then at that point they start carrying the pieces of the Mishkan by now, not one degel, one group, Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvolun travel, and then behind them go B'nai Gershon and B'nai Merari, who are carrying the structure of the Mishkan, the beams and the curtains and whatnot, and then you have another Shevet, and then you have another three Shvatim, Reuben, Shimon, and God, and then you have B'nai Kohos, who are carrying the Kaven. So you need to be told, Pasha, that they're carrying the Oil Morid, and they're carrying the Kaven. It's not meant to teach us about the Kedusha of the Oil Morid at that time. Well, the Gemara says the Edoch, well, the opinion that says that from Menasa Oil Moed, we do learn the point that it still has the Kedusha of the Oil Moed. Well, the fact is, don't we need it for the simple meaning of the Pasuk to tell us the order? And the answer is, but that, he says, we could have learned from the fact that it says that the Machna of the Levim should be between the other Machnas. Again, that you have two Machnas, the ones of Yehuda and the ones of Reuven, have already traveled, and then come the Levim carrying the B'nai Kohos carrying the Kalim of the Mishkan. So he says he could learn both things from the Pasuk. All right. Fine. But the Gemara says, Macy, I have another contradiction. You're telling me then that you have an opinion that says that the lechem aponim remains kosher as long as it's local, as long as it's, and not only if it's on the shulchan. We just said, according to Dini's explanation of the machlokas, when the lechem aponim is on the shulchan, for sure it remains kosher. The question is, if it was taken off the shulchan and distributed among the kohenim, and then they're traveling. So, basically, I have a contradiction. An interesting point in this regard, by the way, is that the lechem aponim was distributed on Shabbos, and they had to eat it that day. So that would imply, therefore, that conceivably maybe they could travel on Shabbos, even if the owner and if the Ananiah covered got up and were ready to go on Shabbos. On the other hand, maybe not necessarily, actually, because the lechem aponim could be eaten like most kodshim that day and the following night. So in that case, they could be eating it Motzei Shabbos. The Gemara is going to discuss soon the question of whether they would set out on the next leg of their trip at night. We'll get back to that in a minute. Mesa, I have a contradiction. And Braisa says, B'shas Siluk Masos, when they're taking apart the Machna and taking apart the Mishkan and everything, Kodshim Nifsolin V'yotze, then Kodshim, which have to remain in the Azara, in the Chotzer, will become Hossel because they're considered that they went out of the Kloim. The Zobinu Mitzarein Mishtalchim Chotzim Chitzasan. On the other hand, though, the Kedusha of the other Machnas still exists. So the Zogim and Saroyim have to be sent out of their respective zones. Meaning, the Gemara tells us in Psachim, derives from Psukim, and you have it mentioned in various other places in Shas, that a Mitzora, here we have in this week's parasha, a Mitzora is sent out of all three Machnas. In the Midbar, that would mean he has to stay out of the entire square area where the 12 Shvatim and the Mishkan and everything are located in. In future generations, it means he has to stay out of Yerushalayim or any other walled city. Rashi refers over here to, for example, the Gemara in Brachas that tells us that there were two Mitzaroyim who were traveling behind the camp of the Yidden in the Midbar, and then when you have the whole story with Nachalei Arnon, when the Goyim are hiding out in the caves above the Arnon River, thinking that they're going to attack the Jews from above, and Hashem calls the mountain, the sides of the valley to come together and to crush these guys, these two Mitzaroyim named Es and Hav were traveling behind the Machna, and they saw trickles of blood, and they went and reported to the Yidden. And then everybody realized the tremendous mess that had happened. There is a note to be Yehuda where he discusses, based on this Gemara and based on other Gemaras, whether in fact that is the case, that they do have to remain outside the all three Machnas, even when they're traveling, even when they're in the middle of traveling. But in any case, our Gemara is saying over here that at least the point of this Braisa, that yes, they do have to stay outside of the three Machnas when they're traveling. So it would mean, if they're traveling single file, then it would mean that they have to go behind the 12th Shevet, behind Shevet Naphtali. And if you say they went in a square formation, then it would mean they'd have to remain outside of that square. The Mitzaroyim, meanwhile, Zovim, and Zovos and others such are allowed in Machna Yisrael, they're excluded from Machna Leviyah and Machna Shechina. So they would have to go among the other Shvatim. And then you have, in later generations, Machna Leviyah is the Harabayas, so Zovim and so forth have to stay off the Harabayas. And then you have Tmei and Mes. who are allowed even into Machna Levia. In fact, for example, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara points out elsewhere, that Moshe Rabbeinu carried the bones of Yosef with him. Yifach Moshe has Atmos Yosef Imar, and Moshe was staying in Machna Levia. So we see that even the body itself can be in Machna Levia, let alone the people who are Tomei. Anyway, so they can be in Machna Levia, they just can't be in Machna Shechina. In future generations, that means they can't be inside the Azara. In any case, the Braisa is saying that when they were dismantling the camp and taking apart the Mishkan and everything, so at that point, any Kodshim that were supposed to stay inside the Azara are going to become fossil. However, even though right now there's no Machna Shechina, there still is a Machna Levia and a Machna Yisrael, so therefore Zovin and Mitzorayim are shtalkin l'chutz l'mechitzasan. So the Zovin and the Mitzorayim are going to have to be sent out of their respective zones. The Mitzorayim out of all three of them, and the Zov out of just Machna Levia. So in other words, right now there's no Machna Shechina, but there are the other two. So now when we're saying Kodeshim become fossil, my lava for Lacham Aponim, wouldn't that mean even the Lacham Aponim? So then that would contradict the opinion that says that the Lacham Aponim are kosher, even though they were taken off the Shulchan when they're traveling. No, it can be an exception. The Lacham Aponim is an exception because of the pasuk, the Nasa Oyo Moreh that we said before. Well, the Gemara says, why? Monashah. E Oyo Moreh Dafkahu. If you say the word Oyo Moreh is actually meant to teach us the din, that it still has the kedusha of the Oyo Moreh, and therefore the Lacham Aponim doesn't become fossil after the Kodeshim Namim, and the same should apply to all the other Kodeshim. Why should they become fossil? E Oyo Moreh Lav Dafkahu. And if the word Oyo Moreh is not meant to teach us that din, and just means you need to know where, when and where the Oyo Moreh is traveling, after the Lacham Aponim Namim, the Lacham Aponim also should become fossil because of Yotzer. Why are we being inconsistent? So that explanation of the machlokas doesn't work even. Ella, he also Rovin Omar. So rather, when Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, and again, often we find in Shas that Rav Dini would come and explain something, and then the Chachamim in Bavel would be discussing it and taking it apart, and finding that there's something the matter with it, and then later on, Rovin would come and clarify to them and bring them another version of the discussion, and then that would answer the question. So, Elaki also Rovin Omar. So when Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, Mar Omar b'Mesudo, Mar Omar b'Mesulak v'loy Pligi. You should know it's not actually Machlokas. One of them is saying when the Lacham Aponim is on the Shulchan, then it remains kosher. The other one is saying when it was taken off, then it becomes possible because it's outside the Kloyim, it's outside the Oyo Moreh. But like Pligian, there's no actual Machlokas. Each one is just talking about a different scenario. So what do we learn from a Nasa Oyo Moreh is you had at that time Kodeshim Kalim, Shlomim, Toda, whatever, which can be eaten throughout Machne Yisrael, those they can continue to eat on the road as well, because Machne Yisrael still exists and is intact. And we learn that from that verse. But as far as anything that was supposed to be inside the Azara, yes, it's going to become possible when they travel, and that does include the Lacham Aponim after all. Tosfos has some discussion about that based on a Gemara and based on Gemaras and Zvachim that we learned about it, that we learned this point over there also, that Kodeshim become fossil when they're traveling. We talked about that they could eat Kodeshim, even before the Levium set up the Mishkan or after they take it apart. And then different things like different things like that about what exactly becomes kosher and what exactly becomes possible when they're traveling, when they're taking apart the Mishkan, when they're in the middle of putting it together and so forth. In any case, so it comes out then, says Rabin, there's no actual machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shur ben Levi are just talking about two different cases, one where the bread remained on the shulchan, and the other where they had taken it off, and then they started traveling. Well, the Gemara says, Amar Abaya. So Abaya says, Shmamina, we can see from this braisa, Rashi explains that Abaya is referring to the braisa we just said, that Kod should become possible when they start traveling. We'll see in a minute, Tosfos has a different understanding. So Rabbi says, Shmamani Yesh Siluk Masoris Balayla. We see from that that they could be starting to travel and going at night. Now, you have multiple things that are that happen when they start traveling. You have the onan, the cloud of Hashem's Shina lifts off the Mishkan, and Moshe says Vayibin, and they blow the shofaris as a signal, they blow the chatzotzis rather as a signal to everybody to start going, and Moshe says Vayibin Sarahar and Kuma Hashem Yafutzori Vacha. Anyway, so those things Abaya says could happen at night as well, and they could start going. If you're going to say that they never would travel at night, only in the daytime, and then you have to consider, Amos Midli, when would the Kloyim be lifted up and started to be taken apart? Necessarily, if it's being in the morning before they brought that day's korbanos, my Eri, Mishum Yotzer, then why do you have to say that they would become possible on grounds of Yotzer? Typically, the Ipsalay Belina. Never mind that, they would be possible anyhow because they would become possible by Lina, because it's overnight since the korban was brought. The last korbanos were brought yesterday, and by now they're possible. So there's no kodesh after all that you can eat beyond the previous night. So necessarily it must be that they could travel at night, and therefore so they're not yet possible because of Luna, because of Noiser, but nevertheless they can still become possible because of Yurtsin. So that's Rashi's explanation of Abaya's proof. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation because so what? Fine. Who says that if they're traveling by day means they set out the first thing in the morning? Maybe let's say we're talking about in the middle of the day. You could have conceivably that they shechted korbanos in the middle of the day. An hour or two later, the cloud lifts up and they're going to go on the next leg of their journey. And at that point, there's no linear yet, but there is Yotzin. So rather, Tosfos says that the explanation of that what Abaya means, Abaya is referring back to what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi were saying. Namely, again, we just established that they're not actually arguing. They're saying that when the Lachem Aponim was taken off the Shulchan, if then they travel, then it becomes possible. Now, Tosfos points out on the face of it, they're not traveling on Shabbos. There would be all kinds of malachas involved if they traveled on Shabbos. Never mind Tumin, there would be their carrying, they're making their animals go, carrying burdens. Therefore, but the Lachem Aponim is only kosher on Shabbos and on Motzei Shabbos. Comes Chatzos, so the morning, as the case may be. And it becomes possible. So therefore, Abaya is proving from that the very fact that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi are saying that if the Lachem Aponim is taken off the Shulchan and then they start traveling, it's becomes possible. Necessarily, we have to be talking about that they'd be traveling Motzei Shabbos, because if they first traveled on Sunday, the Lachem Aponim would be possible because of Luna as well. So that would show that they could be traveling on Motzei Shabbos as well. Okay, so the Gemara says, therefore, you see that necessarily it was possible for them to be traveling, to be setting out to travel at night as well. The Birkas HaZevach answers that the Rashi would say there's no real proof from the Lachem Aponim, because we're going to talk about later on in the parak, what happens if the Lachem Aponim is removed from the Shulchan sometime during the week? It's supposed to stay on there until Shabbos. What happens if it's taken off during the week? So then we would say that it becomes possible because of Yotze, because it's taken out of the Azara when the Kloyim are rolled up and when the Kloyim are being rolled up and carried. So therefore Rashi prefers to say that the proof is from meat of Kodshim. And then different Achronim talk about, so the Birkas HaZevach himself goes on to say, so why wouldn't Tosfos explain it that way? Because Tosfos would say, since you're required to have a Lachem Aponim on the Shulchan throughout the whole week, so even if you actually removed it, it would still be considered as though it was on the Shulchan until Shabbos. And therefore, you'd be back to then. So in that case, then there's no other possibility other than to say that they traveled on. Since you can't say they traveled on Shabbos necessarily, we have to say that they nevertheless. Then Abaya would be saying then the proof would be that they traveled Motzei Shabbos. So Moses Pshita. Well, obviously they could set out to travel at night. The pasuk says that Hashem has a cloud going before them by day and a pillar of fire going by night, so that they can travel by day and by night. So we see they would travel by night as well. I mean, it was no, because Ma'ud came on Hanimili Hekad Akubi Yamala. Sure, that would apply And what the pasuk would mean is if they started traveling by day and they hadn't reached their destination by night yet, then they would continue traveling at night as well, and therefore Hashem provided them a pillar of fire for that. But you would think maybe that if they hadn't set out by day and they're first going to set out by night, maybe they couldn't be trapped, maybe they couldn't start to travel at night. Maybe the cloud would never lift off at night. From Ashmalon, therefore, Abaya says that no, you can infer from the Braisa, who went to Rashi, or from the Machloikas, the statements of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Levi, according to Tosfos, then in fact they could actually set out on a journey at night, and there's no issue with that. Lalachas Yom V'Loila then wouldn't just mean that they're continuing to travel at night. It means they could actually set out on the next leg of their journey at night. So the Gemara continues that Urimimah. Now, though, let's go back to, we brought a braisa before that said that when they were traveling, Kodesh should become possible because Machna Shchina at that point doesn't exist because the Oyo Moyed has been taken apart. And therefore we ended up saying that the Lachem Aponim would also become possible. But we said the Zovimim and the Mitzrayim still have to be sent out of their respective zones, the Machna Yisrael and Machna Leviyah respect. The question is, the Gemara says Urimimah. I have a contradiction to that. Because another Braisa says, once the Paroichas is rolled up, Utris Hazovin Rapal Mitzarayim, Likonis Lashon, then Zovin and Mitzarayim are able to go into the place where the Mishkan was standing. Now, you could understand it to mean, and elsewhere the Gemara seems to be saying that what it means is, in other words, once they left a particular area in the Midbar, then that place has no residual Kedusha. You don't say, for example, since the Kodesh HaKadoshim stood on this particular spot of land, then therefore forever after there are rules about who can go there or not. No, elsewhere the Gemara brings it and says, once they move from there, that place has no kedusha left, and therefore they're allowed to go. But here the Gemara is understanding that it means that saying huglu lua parochas as soon as the parochas is rolled up. So in other words, the implication seems to be that even though all they did is roll up the parochas, they have not yet even taken apart the rest of the Mishkan, let alone the Azara and all that, and everybody hasn't started traveling yet. Nevertheless, they're still able to the Zovim and the Mitzrayim are able to go there. So then, how does that work with what we said that, for example, the Mitzrayim are going to have to stay entirely out of Machne Yisrael? So the answer is, the difference is that the one braisa represents the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer and the other of the Rabbanan. So the first, the earlier braisa that we said would be according to the Rabbanan, the new braisa that we just learned would be according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says, as we're going to see, that the Zovim and the Mitzrayim are in fact, there are certain heterim, that when there are heterim for certain things, then there are heterim for other things as far as that. The Tanya, we learn a braisa. Now, we know that the Korban Pesach can be brought b'tumah. So if most of the Jewish people are tumah, then they still go into the Azara, they still offer the Korban Pesach, they even eat it b'tumah. So now, Rabbi Eliezer says, the rule is only Tnei and Mes have that special heter to enter the Azara and to eat the Korban Pesach. The other types of Tnei are still not allowed to. Nevertheless, though, Rabbi Eliezer says, Yochol dochu zovim mitzrayim v'nichnas al azara v'pesach haba b'tumah. Suppose that the korban pesach is being brought b'tumah, and the zovim or the mitzrayim pushed their way in and entered the azara. Yochol yuchayovin, you would think that they're chayev, because after all, they're tmeim and they're in the azara. No, Talmud Baimah, therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, no, the pasuk says, v'yishalchu min amachne chotzaruah v'chol zov v'chol tomei l'nofesh. The pasuk says that they should send out of the Machna everyone who's a Mitzurda, everyone who's a Zov, and everybody who's Tomim, and everybody who's Tomim Nes. Now, we said that they have different zones, but on the other hand, the Pasuk is making a Hekish between all three of them. So we can learn from that. V'shash, T'mei, Mesim, V'shtalchim, at the time when the T'mei and Mesim are kept out of the Azara, Zovim and Mitzurda and V'shtalchim, then the Zovim and the Mitzurdaim have to be sent out of their respective zones. But, says Rabbi Eliezer, we learn from this pasuk, ein tnei mes mishtalchim, at a time when the tnei mes are not being excluded from the azara, because the pesach is being brought the truma, and at that point there's a special heter for them to be going in, ein zovin mitzorayim mishtalchim, and the zovin mitzorayim are not sent away either, meaning not to say, in other words, that they're allowed to go in. He said that only doch uvenit mesu, all we mean is a potter from Kores in that case. So the Tumim Mess, it actually points out of it here in a little detail, as we said before, the Tumim Mess is in fact allowed in Machmel Aviyah. Like we said before, Moshe had Yosef's bones with him, and that was in Machmel Aviyah. So the Tumim Mess to begin with are only excluded from Machmel Shrina, from the Azara, from the Chotzer. But now, when there's a special heter for the Tumim Mess to enter the Azara, to bring the Tumim Pesach, then Rabbi Yezel learns that also the Chores on the Zavim Nemetzeroyim going into the Azara is also suspended, and therefore, even though they're not allowed to go in there to begin with, but if they did, they're not Chayav Chores. Well, therefore, we see that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, in effect, that once you have an exception for one type of Tomei, then you have an exception for other types of Tmeim as well. So therefore, the new Braisa that we just said at the bottom of the previous Amud that said that as soon as the Paroichas is rolled up, then the Zovim, the Mitzarayim can come in there, that would be a point to Rabbi Eliezer. Since at that point, Machna Shechina ceases to exist, there's no more Kodesh HaKadoshim because the Paroichas has been taken down, then Rabbi Eliezer says, all the other zones, as far as Halacha, don't exist either, and therefore the Zovim, the Mitzarayim can come in there. As opposed to the Uriu Braisa that said the Zovim and Mitzrayim still can't come in, even while they're traveling, that would be according to the Rabbanon, who don't hold of this Drosha of Rabbi Yezers, and they say that even if the Zovim and Mitzrayim came in, then they would still be, they'd still be Chayav Kares. So two different Braises, says Ravashi, if there's not a contradiction between them, they're just two different opinions. So that's that then. The point is though that we've established that the lechem upon him will become as long as it remains on the shulchan, then it will remain kosher even when they're traveling. But if they take it off the shulchan, then it will become possible because now the oil moed is taken apart and now there's no more azara for it to be inside. The Rambam, by the way, Paskin's not like Rabbi Eliezer. The Rambam Paskin's actually like the Chachamim over here, that the Zovim and the Mitzrayim actually would be Chayav Kores in that case, because there's no, it's not just L'chila, they shouldn't go in, like Rabbi Eliezer is saying, it's rather that they're not even allowed to go in there, period, and the same rules would apply, even to say that they would actually be Chayav Kores if they did go in. Fine. Now let's talk about now that we talked about in the previous Mishnah how the lechem aponim and the shtei lechem are made, how they're kneaded and baked, and so now let's talk about where that's done. The Mishnah says achas shtei lechem ba'achas lechem aponim, both of them lishosim va'arichosim b'chutz. The kneading and the shaping of them can be done outside the azara. Va'afiyosim b'fnim, the baking of them dafka has to be done in the azara. The ein doches and the Shabbos, and the preparation of them is not the preparation of them is not doches Shabbos. Even the baking of them, so you'd have to bake them before Shabbos. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chomah Asein Bifnim, Rabbi Yehuda says that everything of them has to be done inside the Azara, even the kneading and even the shaping. Reb Shimon has yet another opinion. La'olam have a rogel loymar, always be accustomed to saying, meaning he taught his Talmidim to remember this point, Tiferes Yisrael says, because this is something that he learned it from Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, but he didn't have a posuk for it. So many of the dinim in Seder Parshim and in Zvachim and in Menachas are derived from Sukkim, as we've been having throughout all Masechta and throughout Zvachim. So therefore, so it's relatively easy. As long as you remember the posuk, you'll be more likely to remember the Jirash Harim. But here you have something which is a din with Baal Peh that Rav Shimon learned from his Rebbeim. So therefore, the Tiferes Yisrael says, therefore he says to his Talmidim, always be used to saying this so that you remember it. So he says, they are kosher if they're made in the Azara, and they're equally well kosher if you make them in Beis Pagi. We learned earlier in our Masechta where Beis Pagi is. Here Rashi explains that Beis Pagi would be a section of Yerushalayim. We talked about previously that we talked about previously, whether it's actually an area in whether it's an area in the Harabayas that Amram holds, that Beis Pagi is an area right next to the Harabayas. And in fact, he said Beis Pagi, it's called that because there were Beit Menachos and the other things over there, and therefore it's called Pagi Menachos Pas Bag HaMelech, the bread of the king. In other places, it actually mentions that Pagi means the reins of a harness of a bridle of an animal, which is attached there. It's a base Pagi would be an area attached to or kind of Jewish line. We talked about a couple of weeks ago a few different possibilities where base Pagi is exactly. In any case, Reb Shimon says, you don't have to, Reb Shimon says, the Tanakhama is saying that you have to bake them in the Azara, but Reb Shimon says you don't. You can even bake them in Beis Pagi, which is to say anywhere in the rest of the Harabayas or even in Yerushalayim. So three different opinions. So the Gemara says, let's go first on the opinion of the Tanakhama. You're telling me that the Tanakhama, that they measure out the flour and they do all that and they knead it and they shape it outside the Azara. And then they bring in the loaves as they're ready made and they bring them into the Azara to bake in the oven. Well, the Gemara says, oh, go for cash. You seem to have a contradiction for you. You're telling me they can be kneaded and they can be shaped outside the Azara. Now, this goes back to the discussion that we had in the previous parak about the measuring utensils that were used in the Bismikdash. We learned over there. They have ones that are used for dry things, flour, and we have things that are used for liquids, for wine and oil. Now we had a discussion over there whether which ones were nimshach, which ones were anointed with Shemana Mishpah, originally by Moshe Rabbeinu, making them to have the official din of Klei Shores, where among other things then, if what's placed in them is left overnight, it becomes possible, and if it's taken out of the Azara, it becomes possible and so forth, where now things placed in them have Kedushas HaGuf. In later generations, the Gemara tells us instead, if they needed to replace one of the kelim, they don't use the Shemana Mishpah on it again. Instead, they use it for the Avodah and the Bismikdash, and without it gets its filthy. Anyway, so the Gemara had discussed over there which of these midas, which of these measuring utensils were nimshach and became an official kli shores. So you're telling me, if you're telling me that you can knead and shape the loaves outside the Azara, obviously that has to mean the midas yovish, the dry measure that you use to measure the flour for it, lo niskancha, must not have been made holy, must have not been anointed with Shemana Mishcha and made an official kli shores. Which we had a machlokas about that again earlier. Because, in other words, if it had become Kodesh, then what are you going to do? You're going to measure the flour in it inside the Azara, because that's where the Klei Shores are kept, and that's where they're supposed to be used. Then you would take the flour outside the Azara and start kneading and baking it. It would be a gnai to do that. So actually, Rashi says it would actually become possible outright by Yotze. Once you put it in the Klei Shores, it would become possible if you take it out of the Azara. First, it's not really a matter of Yotze. In that case, it wouldn't necessarily actually become possible because it hadn't been made yet. But rather, it just means that Tosfos refers over here to something that they explain at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Tes why Yotze wouldn't be an issue in this case. Basically, because it hadn't yet been made. But still, Tosfos says it would be a gnag, it would be a shameful thing that you measured it in a Klei Shores and then you would take it out of the Azari. So that implies that the Midas Yavish was not made whole. On the other hand, Rafi Yosin Bifnim, but then you're telling me they have to be baked inside the Azara, Alma Midas Yavish Niskadisha. That seems to mean that the Midas Yavish was made whole. And therefore, so now you have a problem. If you were to take it out of the Azara, it would become possible by Yotze. Otherwise, why dafka bake it in the Azara? Do like Rav Shimon and bake it in Beis Pagi anywhere in Yerushalayim. So what is the Tanakhama of our Mishnah hold as far as these Midas Yavish? So Gemara says you should know something. This is a very good question. Amar Rabba, hiksha odem kosher shu kosher kabarzel. You should know this question was brought up by a tough person, a great Talmud Chacham, somebody who was very strong in his Torah learning. Shu kosher kabarzel, he's sharp and strong like iron, namely that he's able to cut through the questions and get to the halacha like iron. So Rashi says it means lachatech halacha kabarzel, he's able to cut through and get to the bottom line halacha just like an iron tool. Tosfos says a different point that it means also that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to be hard and unyielding in in maintaining his opinion, in maintaining that people should have covered for Tamar Chacham and some such thing, and the Gemara and such things, and the Gemara compares it to that approach. Tamar Chacham has to be like iron. So either way, the point is, Rabbah is complimenting Rav Sheshes that his powers of reasoning are as sharp as iron and as hard and sharp as iron, or that his mentality and his way of thinking and doing is that of a real top level Talmid Chacham, Umanu Rav Sheshes, and that is Rav Sheshes. So in other words, look at that. Even Rav Sheshes, who has such an ability, such tremendous abilities as Talmid Chacham, even he couldn't find an answer to this. So Rabbah is saying, in other words, this really must be a very, very difficult question. If even Rav Sheshes couldn't figure it out, then how are we going to do that? It's like, you know, nowadays we say something similar about Rabbi Akiva Eger. If Rabbi Akiva Eger and his Gilui Nashas or whatever brings up something and leaves it with Tzorach Iyun Gadol, then us lesser mortals are not necessarily going to have much of a chance of finding an answer to it. On the other hand, the Gemara says, "My kusha, my kasha. What's so hard to understand? It's actually fairly straightforward. Duma isarim leimakadosh, tana makadosh. You could say very simple. The measure that was used to measure the cup that was used to measure out the isarim of flour was not a Scottish. Our tana is going to say. Therefore, you can now measure out the flour, and then you can take it outside the azara and do it there." On the other hand, you could say the oven is in fact Makadosh. The oven is a Kli Shoris, and it's Makadosh, the loaves of bread that are baked in there, and therefore it has to be done in the Azara. So the idea would be, in other words, that so the idea would be Rashi further on explains that the idea would be that they were Makadosh some of the dry measure things because sometimes they would take them outside the Azara, and therefore you don't want to make them into clay shardis in case they do take them outside. So in other words, it actually explains later on, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, they have the half Isarim that they use to measure out the Chavitah Kohen Gadol, and those are all done inside the Azara. So therefore, you could be Moshiach, those you could anoint and make them into clay charis, and there's no problem with that. But when it comes to the one for the Isarim, which is used to measure everybody else's Menachas, sometimes you might take it outside the Azara, and therefore you don't want to make it a Sheminah, therefore you don't want to anoint it with Sheminah Mishnah in the first place. That's it, Rashi. Tosfos has some discussion about that, and makes a different point that the difference is that the most menachos and the minchas chavitin are mixed with oil, and the ones that we use for oil, we said that almost everybody agrees that the ones that we use for liquids are miskadish. So therefore, they would be makadish, the ones for dry as well, because generally speaking, those are going to be also incorporating something that was measured using the liquid measuring cups, as opposed to over here, the shtei lechem and the lechem aponim don't include oil at all, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, the flour and water, the shtei lechem are made chametz, the lechem aponim is left matzah, so you're not going to be using the clay alach at all. So we could say therefore they didn't want to anoint the one that was used to measure the flour. Again, as Tosfos said, not so much that it would become possible if they took it out, but it would be a gnai to, whereas the oven where they have to bake it is a kli shoreis, and therefore they're baked inside the azar. In addition, we learned yesterday that they had a form that they would put the lechem aponim in or wrap it around, whatever, in the oven so it would keep its shape while they're baking it. And that is considered a kli shoreis. That we learned yesterday that Tosfos says that when the pasuk says that you have to have ka'aroisa, you have to have the bowls for the lechem aponim, means that form that you bake it in the oven with. So in that case, then there's good reason to say that the form and the oven in which it's baked should in fact be a kli shoreis. And therefore, of necessity, it's going to have to be in the Azara. So it's not such a big question. So that can't be the question that stumped Rav Sheshes. That's a very easy answer. So it's most fine. Ela ikasha hokashi. Rather, the question would really be as follows. The question is not so much how they could be shaped and how they could be kneaded and shaped outside the Azara. Rav Sheshes' question, not stumped him, would rather be when the Mishnah says, "Va'afi yosin b'fnim," that they have to be baked in the Azara. Alma Tanu Makadish. So therefore, you're saying that the oven evidently is Makadish them and makes them now they have the full Kedusha of Lachem Abadim. The Ein Doches Shabbos, but then the Mishnah continues that the preparation that is not Doches Shabbos. Now the question is, how could that be? You're going to put them on the Shulchan only on Shabbos. Meanwhile, if you bake them on Friday, if Silva Lina, won't they become possible by Lina? How would, if you bake them in an oven, which is a Klisharis, then if you leave them overnight, then they're going to become possible. So how could that be? How do those things fit together? Ela Omar Rava. So now that's what Rava is saying. Ikra Adam Kosher Shu Kosher Kabaz or Lamana Rav Sheshes. That Rav Sheshes, who is a very tough Talmud Chacham and a very sharp Talmud Chacham, brought this up like iron, and he brought this up, and it really is a question that stumps all of us. Omer Ravashi, but still, Ravashi says, my kutta. Still, why is that so hard to understand? I'll give you an answer to it, says Ravashi. Maybe when the Mishnah says that the Lachem Aponim, according to the Tanakhama, is baked inside, meaning in the Azara, it doesn't actually mean in the Azara. It just means in a place where the Zrizim is. Namely, in other words, it doesn't have to be done in the Azara, but it has to be the ones who usually do the Avodah in the Azara, which are the Kohanim, are going to be the ones who are doing it over here as well, but it's actually located outside the Azara. And Kohanim Zrizimim, so they have to be sure, after all, it has to remain Matzah, it can't become Chometz. So then the Mishnah just means, in other words, that you don't have to bake it in the Azara, but it means the Kohanim have to be the ones who are baking it to prevent it from becoming, to prevent it from becoming Chometz. Then the Choyk Nosan brings up a question then. Okay, what about the Shnei Alechem? The Shnei Alechem do become Chometz. They're supposed to be Chometz, so then why would he need Zrizim to do them? And the Mishnah had also said that they have to be baked inside the Azara, and Rav Ashi would be saying it has to be baked by Kohanim. So why? The Taras HaKodesh gives an answer of Sheshes' question was never on the Shnei Alechem in the first place, because the Shnei Alechem could be, the Shnei Alechem, sure, those could be baked on Yom Tov, you are allowed to bake on Yom Tov, only if Shavuos comes out on Shabbos, would you have a question? Fine, most years Shavuos doesn't come out on Shabbos. So the question would need to be the Lachem Aponim, where by definition it's placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos, so Rav Ashi is saying it would actually be baked on Friday, but it would be baked by the Zrizim. But the Gemara says, v'hod Rav Ashi berusim. However, what Rav Ashi said is berusa. It's incorrect. We had earlier in the Masech, we had something similar. The Gemara has in a number of places in Shas where it shoots down something that Rav Ashi says and calls it berusa, literally means something outside, as if something that belongs outside the base member. It's not a valid explanation. In other places, the Gemara uses the expression bedusa, which literally means a fiction, which means that somebody made this up and mistakenly attributed it to Rav Sheik, to Rav Ashi, this opinion. The Gemara has a bunch of different places where the Gemara does that. We do say, nevertheless, it is after all part of Torah, so even if we're calling it bedusa or berusa, nevertheless, it still means it's still part of Hashem's Torah, it's still part of Chochmos Ritzon and Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu. But in terms of the logic of the Gemara, the Gemara is going to explain it doesn't fit, and you can't accept this answer. Because, what you're saying, it doesn't work either way. If you need Zrizim when you're baking it to prevent it from becoming Chomet, Lishavarit, and Nami, Be'inin Zrizim, then you should need Zrizim. You should need the Kohenim to be involved in kneading and shaping it as well. You could have a problem of becoming Chomet there as well. And if we don't need zrizin for the kneading and the shaping, then you should need zrizin for the baking even. Ella, did Rav Ashi berusa? He said, therefore, of necessity, what Rav Ashi is saying is berusa. We can't accept that as a valid answer. So Rav Sheshes' question remains open. Rav Sheshes, the hard man as hard as iron, the great outstanding Talmud Chacham Rav Sheshes had this question, and none of us are able to figure out an answer how the Mishnah would be reconciled. So Tosfos says the only way to say would be, as the Gemara says in some places, that there are different opinions of Tanoim that have been combined together in the Mishnah over here. The opinion that says that they're baked in the Azara would necessarily have to say they have to be baked on Shabbos, because otherwise they would be possible by Lina. The opinion that says that they're baked on Erev Shabbos would have to say that the oven is not Makadish them, and therefore the oven is not a Tzishardis. There'd be no way to reconcile to say that the two statements are made by the same Tana, because yeah, it's true that they wouldn't fit together. On the other hand, though, On the other hand, though, when the Rambam brings these halachas, the Rambam does bring both of these facts, that it's baked inside the Azara, and that it's not Dursa Shabbos. We should tell them on the Rambam deal with how exactly the Rambam would understand all Gemara. The Rambam would give an answer to Rav Sheshes that, yeah, basically, the Lacham Mishnah explains on the Rambam that the Rambam would say, the Rambam would answer Rav Sheshes' question that the oven does bring in a certain degree of Kedusha, but not a complete Kedusha, so not so complete that it would become possible by Lina, therefore they can bake it on Erev Shabbos, but enough that it has to be done in the Azara. So in other words, basically he would say that, Lina is different than other kinds of psulim. It becomes possible with other things, if a tevul yoin touches it, if it's yotze, etc. But nevertheless, as far as Lina, it wouldn't become possible because of that. We may not understand why that is, and Rav Sheshes had a hard time understanding the logic, but nevertheless, that would be how it is. Then you also have, on top of that, by the way, here in the Gemara, we were saying that as far as this matter of Midas Yavish, was it made Kodesh or not, the Rambam actually passed on that the Midas Yavish was made holy, it was anointed with Shemen HaMishka, which should imply then, we were saying before, that then if you measured the flour with it and then took it out of the Azara, it should either become possible according to Rashi, or at least it would be a Gnai according to Tosfos, and nevertheless, we don't see that, so it comes out... So it comes out, the Chazon Ish basically explains you have three different degrees of Kedusha that it gets. You have a certain degree of Kedusha that it gets by being measured with an Isarin, a higher level by being baked in the oven, and an even higher level when it's placed on the Shulchan, and that's when it gets its full Kedusha to the extent where now it becomes possible with Lina, and only at that third stage does it become possible with Lina. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and the Komar same with Fnim before. We said Rabbi Yehuda had said everything of the Lechem Aponim is done inside the Azara. Even kneading and the shaping. And then Rav Shimon said, on the other hand, all of them can be done outside the Azara altogether. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bahu Bakahano, Shnei Mikra Echad Doshin. Both Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon are doshining the same pasuk. Namely, like the pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, it tells us how at one point when David was on the run from Shaul, he came to Noi v'Irakoyim. And he was hungry, he didn't have food with him, and he goes to the Kohen Gadol Achimelech and asks him, do you have any bread? And Achimelech tells him, the only bread I have is Lechem Aponim. Now, you're a Zor, you're from Shevet Yehuda, you're not allowed, Lechem Aponim is only for the Kohen. Now, David tells him, it's in a way, it's in a mundane way, Afur, says in the Pasuk, Ki Hayom Yiftash Bekeli. Even though today it was made holy in a keli. So what does David mean by that? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are going to argue what that phrase of David's means. By the way, the Gemara elsewhere tells us that David at that point was suffering from bulmos. He was suffering from some kind of dangerous condition caused by a lack of food. The symptoms the Gemara mentions about it elsewhere seem to describe something like low blood sugar or whatever it was. So David is on the verge of fainting and still he had the presence of mind to have the discussion in halacha with Achimelech to prove to him up the halacha that he should be entitled to be given some of the Lechem Aponim. So what happened? Rabbi Yehuda Savar, b'cholach tuchinu d'ka'afulei. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it means that David came to Noiv on a weekday and found that they were baking the Lechem Aponim, because again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the Lechem Aponim had to be the Koyanim held, like the other opinions over here, that the oven is not Makavish, the Lechem Aponim, or that it only gives it a certain limited degree of Kedusha, and therefore that you bake it on Friday rather than being Dosh for Shabbos for it. So he says to the Koyanim, Derech Chol Kafitulai, you're baking the Lechem Aponim in a weekdayish way? Even though today, when you put it in the oven, it's going to become kodesh in a keli, the ipsil labelina, and it's going to become kosel by lina because you're only going to put it on the shulchan tomorrow morning. So how could you do that? So that implies that they should in fact be baking on Shabbos. Why? Because the tanner, because the oven itself is mekadesh them, and therefore you must bake them and therefore it will become possible by lina. So the only alternative is to bake them on Shabbos so that they don't become possible by lina. Therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda says that it will become possible, and therefore he means that it, therefore he says that shows that it has to be baked inside the Azar. In a plea shortage. Reb Shimon learns the pasuk differently. The Shabbos Ashkenazim deka'afulei, they just the opposite. David found them baking the Lechem Aponim on Shabbos because they held like that it has to be done on Shabbos because it overrides Shabbos. Amalahu, so he tells them, Loi derechel beritu lemevde. Shouldn't you have done it in a weekdayish way? You should have done it on Erev Shabbos. Midi tanu makadish. After all, does the oven give it the kedusha that it will become possible by lina? Shulchan or the mekadesh only when you place it on the shulchan, which is going to be on Shabbos, is it going to have its full kedusha and become possible by lina? So Rav Shimon says, on the contrary, you see that David is telling them you shouldn't be baking on a Shabbos, you should be baking it on a weekday, and that means of necessity. That means you have to bake it in a kli choil, not in a kli shodis, and therefore there's no reason to do it specifically in the azan. So the Gemara says how could you possibly say it's going to either explanation that David encountered them when they were baking the lachem upon him. The pasuk says that the koyim that Achimelech the Kohen Gadol gave David the holy bread, the lachem upon him, because there was no other bread over there. It was a city of all koyim; they didn't have cholin food over there. All they had was a lachem upon him that had been removed from the shulchan in front of Hashem. So in other words, not that he's finding them baking new lachem upon him; he finds them they'd already taken the lachem upon him off the shulchan and they're going to distribute it among the koyim, and David is asked for some of it. So Ella, my derech chol, the problem of who? So what does David mean when he mentions his derech chol? So Hachi Kong relay. The answer is they said to him like this: you want us to give you some of the lechem upon him. You want us to give you some bread. Like a lechem, we have no regular bread. Kiyim lechem upon him, and we start him with lechem Hashem. All we have is a lechem upon him that has just been removed from the shulchan. But you're a zoi, you can't eat it. So David tells them, first of all, needless to say, this bread that has already been taken off the shulchan, it already has a lower level of kusa. The kiven in nafaklei mimi'ila, once it was taken off the shulchan, then it no longer is subject to mi'ila. The rule is, in general, as we're learning in the section of mi'ila, that once a korban becomes mutter to eat, then the din of mi'ila goes away from it. So here, once the lachem upon, as long as the lachem upon him is on the shulchan, and the kohenim can't eat it, then if a person were to eat it or otherwise use it, he'd be subject to the din of mi'ila. But once it's taken off the shulchan and the bezichin have been offered and the kohenim can eat it, then the ila no longer applies. So then it's considered derech hoyohu. So it's considered a mundane thing and under my condition, as the Gemara is going to go on to say that he's starving, that you should be able to give it to me. Even the new lachem upon him that just today became holy by being put on the keli, on the shulchan, and now is subject to me'ilah, even that, if necessary, give me some of that to eat it. Mesukan who became dangerously ill because, as Rashi says, he was struck by bulmos, which is, again, whether it's low blood sugar or whatever it is, exactly the Gemara mentions elsewhere, in Yuma, that it causes the person's vision to become dim. So whatever it is exactly, it's some kind of condition caused by extreme starvation, and therefore David's saying Pashat is Sakonis Nefashis, and therefore you have to override the dinim of Kodshim for it. But all the more so that you're dealing with Lachal Aponim, it's already been taken off the Shulchan, then all the more so you should be able to give some to me now. Well, so then where is the wearer of Yehuda and Rav Shimon getting their respective opinions? If they're not, so then it comes out. The pasuk has nothing to do with the machlokas of when and where the lachem upon him should be baked. So Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon, the Gemara, please. So they're just arguing about respective things that they learned from their rabbi. And the Gemara says, Dekanami. In fact, we see that, Dekatani, because the Mishnah had said, Rav Shimon Oymer, La'olam heve roga loyma, always be accustomed to say, Shtei alechem lachem upon him, Shtei l'spazara, or Shtei l'sabes tani, and the Shtei Lechem and Lachem Aponim are kosher if they're made in the Azara, and also kosher if they're made in Beis Tzadi. So the fact, again, like we said before, that the Tiferes Yisrael says, that the fact that Rav Shimon has to urge his Talmidim to always remember that, that shows that it's something that he learned from his Rebbeim and didn't have a posuk to back it up, and neither does Rav Yehuda, and therefore Rav Shimon is telling his Talmidim to review it again and again and memorize it so that they don't forget this halacha.